This is Terrio Media.
Hey, strap in. It's time for the Epic Real Estate Investing Show. We'll be your guides as we navigate the housing market, the landscape of creative financing strategies, and everything you need to swap that office chair for a beach chair. If you're looking for some one-on-one help, meet us at reiace.com.
Let's go.
Let's go.
If you've ever gotten stuck over the price with the real estate agent, here's how we got an $80,000 price reduction without a fight.
Hi, is this... Hey, this is Matt. I'm Hilda's partner.
Hey, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. What's the weather like in Austin?
Oh, it's hot. 100 plus degrees.
I'm in Vegas right now, about the same.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'm safe.
Totally. Hey, we got our appraisal in.
This deal, it belongs to one of my clients, by the way. And she was just a few days away from having to remove her contingencies. And she asked me to double check her numbers. And after we ran through the math of the ARV, the after repair value, the purchase price, the rehab estimate, and her hard money costs, she was about $75,000 away from this being a good deal for her. So I hopped on the phone as her partner and made the call to the listing agent on her behalf.
We got our appraisal in and it seems fair. And I think it's okay. And then we got our numbers in from our contractor, which were a little more than we were thinking, but it's fair. And we're just kind of crunching these final numbers and looking at the latest market conditions.
So right here, I'm introducing my good cop, bad cop strategy, where I position the market as the bad cop and myself as the good cop. We team up against the market because at the end of the day, a property is only worth what the market is willing to pay for it. The market always gets in the way. It never pleases the buyer. It never pleases the seller. And now I'm going to acknowledge the comps that the agent gave to my client to show him I am on his side and I want to get the deal done. But we have this common enemy that we got to overcome, the market.
And I can see the comps that you gave Hilda, which definitely support the price as well. I mean, they're pretty much in perfect alignment with the appraiser. But there's a couple properties that are comparable that have been on the market for a long time that are really nice rehabs. And one of them is priced significantly cheaper and it's a little bit bigger. And that's causing us to pause a little bit because if we go back on the market, we're going to be competing against that. And I was just wondering if you knew anything about that property over there.
So I'm not going to tell him what I know about the property. I'm not going to give him the story. I want him to tell me the story because if I tell the story, he'll doubt it. If he tells the story, he'll believe it.
Yeah, I think perhaps you're talking about, I think he started off really high on the price originally.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they're now chasing the market downwards.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, if you're doing real estate, you price it correct from the first day. It's kind of all downhill from there.
Yeah, totally. All right. Yeah.
What we do differently than other agents.
And now he's going to try and sell himself, which has no impact on the value. But I'm the good cop. I'm a teammate. So I'm willing to hear him out and let him toot his own horn because that's what you do for a good teammate.
I run one of the top teams in the country. I'm currently top 5 in Austin, Texas, number 1 for Lakeway, number 1 for Spicewood, Marble Falls, and some other cities too nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And we got our clients as high as 150K per basket price. On average, though, it's like 72 to 80K per basket price. So normal, like track record so far. Mm-hmm. And so we do a lot of marketing. We price it correctly from day one, super competitively.
Mm-hmm.
That one can kind of make the price higher for bidding wars.
Got it. So do you guys have like a secret list of buyers?
I ask this question because this could be a difference maker, but I doubt that he has a secret buyers list, but I'm not going to call BS because you wouldn't do that to a teammate. You just ask about it and let them clarify.
Yeah, we have a list of buyers. We also have a proven people process, designing the best price for your house, using a 16-step process list properties. So we do PR, video, advertising, our database. I have the email address of every single agent in America that I blocked the house out to.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I mean, that sounds like a good plan. And nice to know you have that in place. But the problem is we can't do, I mean, we're investors and we're doing this to make a profit, right? We're not going to live in it. We're going to flip it.
Yep.
And based on the numbers and what the market is saying, there just is no profit.
Over the years, you know, I've come to learn that the best negotiating game is to avoid games altogether and just be straight with people. I mean, I'm an investor. I need to make a profit. If I can't, then it's not a deal for me. No big deal. So here I'm letting him know that I'm willing to walk away. And if you're afraid of walking away, you lose almost every time. And it's always better to walk away from a good deal than it is to buy a bad one.
On my side, I think, what was the rehab cost you have for your property right now?
We're right around 100, 109 for, with just some minor incidentals.
109, okay. Yeah, yeah, that is interesting. A little bit, because I think my like conservative number I had for ARV was 450 on a silver time, but my ARV for you is the rehab was 60K, so that 40K would definitely get a lot of the profit for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, there's a couple ways. I mean, we can kind of burn this candle from both ends to see if we can find a happy meeting ground there. If you had 450 ARV, can you help me out and give me some addresses recently that have sold that support that?
So this is key. My goal is to always have the seller or the agent in this instance come up with the offer. Rather than me haggling over the price, I introduce the market again to do the haggling for me, letting him know that we're happy to move forward if he can get the market to validate the value.
Yeah, definitely that for you.
Okay, so you can send that to Hilda. So that's first thing, is I need some help there. So if I can find those, because I can't see them. So if you can show them to me, that'd be great. Next part is the contractor that you have for 60. I mean, that's like almost half of what we have. Does your contractor have a special deal on supplies or stuff?
He does have a lot of partnerships that they use. And he also like is really creative by making sure he kind of keep expenses as low as possible. I will flip by now. I'm doing with him in East Austin. He did a total rehab gut job for like 50K, more work than this house needs. And it looks amazing so far. It's not done yet though.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really skilled at having good partnerships with cheaper materials and better labor costs.
Say that again, last part again. He's really what?
He's really good at having cheaper materials
mm-hmm.
and good labor costs.
Got it. Okay. Because I'm looking at the houses that sold, and whoever did the work on those did a really good job, at least per the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And then that one that is still on the market, and it's on the market for 20 grand less than what we would be. I mean, it's on the market, what, 409 or something like that? And what is it? It's, yeah, 405. And it's really pretty house. So I don't know if cutting corners is going to be a good idea if that's what we're competing against.
Now, I'm questioning his contractor's ability to get our job done at a price that leaves us with profit. And I'm doing it in a way where he has to defend his contractor because, you know, for him to do it at half price, does he get the supplies at half price? Does he get the labor really cheap? I mean, how creative can he be to cut the price in half? I mean, he'd have to cut corners, I think, right?
Yeah, no, definitely not that. Cutting corners never works. Especially here in Austin, since a lot of...
Oh, I thought that's what you said your guy specialized in. That's, I misunderstood.
Yeah, not cutting corners. They're really good at having good material costs.
Okay.
So people that work with have good partnerships with them for better deals on the materials.
Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, that's going to be like... He'd have to get like half price. So would he be willing to talk to us about possibly doing the work?
Yeah, I can have him connect with you guys and see what he thinks he can do for you. We can look at his portfolio as well, make sure it's a good fit for what you guys want.
Mm-hmm.
That way you have more options there too. Kind of get a quote from him. That's to be an easy way to kind of see what other options we have
okay.
on that side.
All right. So we would need to see some comps to make us comfortable at the 450 price. And we'd need to see something comfortable from the contractor that he could do it at 60, because that's about the exact gap we're apart. So if we can't make up the gap there, then we're going to have to make the gap up in the purchase price.
Mm-hmm.
Or we just move on, because the only person that's going to be making any money here is the lender and the agent.
Yeah.
As the numbers sit now, and that's not the business we're in.
Yeah, most definitely.
That doesn't keep the lights on, right?
Yep, without a doubt.
Now, what I've done is I've put the burden of keeping this deal together solely on the agent to find me comps that validate the price and a contractor that can match the work quality of what's on the market right now at the right price for us. And again, I let him know that I'm willing to walk away. But now I'll let him know that's not what I want to do because we're on the same team and we want to get this done. And I'll even create a little urgency here. But overall, it's just that the market and the contractor are in the way of this deal getting done. Not the seller, not me, the buyer.
Okay, so I know we got a few days before we have to close, and we do want to move forward. We just need some help and to get some sort of confidence that this is going to work out. So can you help us with that stuff?
Yeah, I will send over a list of comps for Hilda to look at and you as well. And then we'll also send you my contractor that I use for metal shops and different clients for some options for you too.
What type of contract?
My contractor.
Oh, your contractor. Got it. Okay.
Yep.
Very good. All right, Jordan. Well, thank you very much. I just wanted to be straight with you and let you know where we stand right now. Because as it stands, like, we're kind of a no-go. But if we can work some numbers, then maybe we can still push forward.
Okay. Well, then let's see what we can do. I will talk to the contractor. I'll see some comps. We can go from there. And then if we need be trying to do different options too.
Okay. Super. Thanks. Thanks for your time.
Yep. You as well. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so my client and I, we agreed to call back the agent if we hadn't heard from him in the next couple of days. But the agent called my client back the very next day, early in the morning, offering an $80,000 price reduction because he didn't have any recent comps to support the price. And his contractor's quote ended up being very similar to my client's quote. These strategies made the agent feel that a price reduction was the only way to keep the deal alive, leading to the $80,000 decrease in price.
We'll be back with more right after this.
When you go to work for your money, does it return the favor?
If not,
no worries. You do not have a money problem. You merely have an idea problem. We're CashflowSavvy.com, and we'd like to share a new idea with you around income real estate that can transform your financial future and accelerate its arrival. Go to CashflowSavvy.com and download a free investor's package. CashflowSavvy.com. You do not have a money problem, merely an idea problem. CashflowSavvy.com. More ideas, less worries. CashflowSavvy.com.
Hope is not a financial strategy. Let's get back to work.
Just because an estate is popular doesn't mean it's profitable. If you're a cash flow real estate investor, here's the truth about these seven nightmare states that you need to hear. In no particular order, because they all pretty much suck for landlords. Number one, California. One of the most beautiful states in the country, no doubt. But if you're in the real estate game for cash flow, it's probably not where you want to be putting your money. First off, the anti-landlord laws are a big red flag. California is notorious for its strong tenant protections. We're talking about some serious rent control measures in many cities, places like Los Angeles and San Francisco. They've got strict limits on how much you can increase your rent each year. And if you think that's bad, wait until we get to number six on the list, where they've got statewide rent control. But if you ever need to evict a tenant in California, the state has some of the most extensive eviction protections in the country. This means that even if your tenant isn't paying, getting them out of the property is going to be a long and expensive process. Then there's the issue of home prices versus rent. California has some of the highest home prices in the nation. The disparity between what you'll pay to buy and what you'll get back in rent is huge, making it essentially impossible to achieve positive cash flow. But are the income levels in California higher on average? Well, yes, but don't let that fool you into thinking it translates into higher rents. The high cost of living eats up a lot of that income for people, and tenants are already stretched thin. That makes it risky to try and push rents higher to cover your costs. And let's not forget about squatters' rights. In California, if someone squats on your property for just 5 years without you doing anything about it, they can actually claim legal ownership. It's become a game these days where squatters start claiming ownership after just 30 days of occupying your property. It's not right, but they do it. And the cops, they just pass it on to the court system as a civil matter, which takes months through that process to evict. It's a nightmare scenario for any landlord, and it's more common than you might think, especially in areas where housing is in short supply. And then there's property taxes. The rate may seem moderate, but when you combine California's property tax rate with the sky-high values, you're looking at one of the biggest annual tax bills in the country. And we're not done. Don't forget insurance. Earthquakes, wildfires, California's got it all. And that means insurance premiums are through the roof. And it's another necessary expense that cuts into your cash flow. Finally, let's talk about unemployment. Even though the state has a reputation for economic opportunity, it also has pockets of very high unemployment, particularly in many of its urban areas. And that typically translates to missed rent payments and higher turnover, which equals more work and less cash flow for you. California may sound glamorous, but if you're serious about cash flow, it's anything but. State number two, New York, particularly New York City. It's iconic, it's busy, it's full of life, but for real estate investors focused on cash flow, it'll be years before you see any. First up, they're anti-landlord laws. New York City is infamous for its strict rent control laws and extensive tenant protections. If you're thinking of raising rents or evicting a non-paying tenant, be prepared for a long, complicated, and expensive process. The city, it prioritizes tenant rights heavily, which can seriously limit your ability to manage your property the way that you'd like. Then, like California, there's the issue of home purchase prices compared to rent. Property prices in New York City are among the highest in the country, but the rental income you can expect, it doesn't match up. The average income in New York is higher than the national average, which sounds like a plus, but there's a massive income disparity in the city. I mean, you've got some of the wealthiest people in the country living next to people barely getting by. And that makes for a risky environment for landlords. Now let's talk about their squatters' rights. They're here too. Property taxes, they're high, particularly in the suburbs and upstate New York. Even if you avoid, though, New York City's sky-high property prices, you'll still be hit with significant property taxes that gobble up most of your cash flow. So while New York might seem like the place to be, the reality for cash flow investors, it's not worth the headache. Download a free investor packet at cashflowsavvy.com for some turnkey options in landlord-friendly states. All right, number three, right next door to New York, New Jersey. And while Jersey might seem like a good alternative to the city for real estate investors that are focused on cash flow, the downsides, they are clear. First off, New Jersey has tight rent control and eviction laws. The state's laws are heavily tilted in favor of tenants, which can make it really challenging to manage your property profitably. Then there's the issue of home purchase prices versus rent here too. The disparity can make it difficult to achieve any kind of cash flow at all. But here's what makes Jersey a no landlord zone. The state has the highest property taxes in the country. So even if you find a reasonably priced property, the tax bill alone, it's a deal killer. So while New Jersey might seem like a good bet because of its proximity to New York, the reality is its high property taxes, strict laws, and high costs make it a state that you want to avoid if cash flow is your goal. Number four, Hawaii. Sure, it's a dream destination for vacationers, but for real estate investors looking for cash flow, Hawaii comes with its own set of challenges that might make you think twice. In fact, they will make you think twice. First off, Hawaii has strong tenant rights. The state has put in place solid protections against unjust eviction, which means that once you have a tenant in your property, it's not easy to get them out, even if they're not paying rent or if they're causing problems. Then there's the huge disparity between home purchase prices and rent. Hawaii is one of the most expensive places to buy property in the U.S., but you can't push the rents high enough for it to make sense because the average income in Hawaii is among the lowest in the nation, and the unemployment is higher than the national average. And when you've got low income and high unemployment, you've also got tenant and management struggles. Squatters' rights, they're on your side here, though, and property taxes in Hawaii aren't among the highest. But just when you were feeling a bit of relief here, you've got sky-high insurance premiums to deal with thanks to the constant risk of hurricanes and floods. This is an unavoidable cost, and it's another factor that cuts into your cash flow. So while Hawaii might be a great place to visit, when it comes to real estate investing for cash flow, it's a very different story. Number five, Illinois, specifically Chicago. It's a major hub with a lot going on, but for real estate investors focused on cash flow, there are some challenges that you need to be aware of. Illinois has strong tenant protections. If you ever have the misfortune of dealing with an eviction, you can expect a long, drawn-out process that can be expensive and stressful. Then there's the issue of home purchase price versus rent, just like all the other states that I mentioned. Squatters' rights are an issue to consider here too, where squatters know the game and can cause problems for landlords, and they do frequently. Property taxes in Illinois are among the highest in the country, often being a deal killer all by themselves, which means even if you find a good deal, the tax bill will almost certainly get in the way. So while Illinois might seem like a good market, the reality is that it's a tough place to generate cash flow. Now let's take a look at a real nightmare state, number six, Oregon, which has some of the most robust anti-landlord laws in the country. And the state has implemented statewide rent control, which means that even if market conditions would allow you to raise rents significantly, you're legally capped on how much you can increase them each year. On top of that, the state has strong tenant protections, making it difficult to evict tenants, even if they're not holding up their end of the lease. Then there's the disparity between home purchase prices and rent. In cities like Portland, Home prices have soared, but rents haven't kept pace. This means you'll be paying a premium to buy a property, but the rental income won't be enough to justify the investment. Squatters' rights are very much a concern in Oregon. The system is empathetic to them, squatters that is, and it doesn't care about the landlords seemingly at all. But on the bright side, property taxes and insurance premiums are manageable. But the statewide rent control has Oregon as a no-fly zone on my list. As pretty as most of the state is, it's a tough market for cash flow real estate investors. All right, the number 7 state on the list. It's a beautiful place with a booming tech industry. But for real estate investors focused on cash flow, Washington has some serious drawbacks. First off, Washington, especially Seattle, has strong tenant rights. The laws here are definitely more tenant friendly. Even if they're not paying rent, evicting a tenant can be a lengthy and costly process. Home prices in the Seattle area have skyrocketed over the past few years, and rents, they haven't kept up. This is the number one issue for anyone focused on cash flow. Those two got to match. Generally, with tenant friendly laws come squatter friendly laws. So you've got that here too. On the bright side, both property taxes and insurance premiums in Washington are average for the country. California, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, Hawaii, Oregon, and Washington, these states all have some varying combination of high property prices, strict tenant laws, high property taxes, high insurance premiums, and various other factors that make them less favorable for landlords aiming for positive cash flow. I'll see you next time. Take care. And that wraps up the Epic Show. If you found this episode valuable, who else do you know that might too? There's a really good chance you know someone else who would. And when their name comes to mind, please share it with them and ask them to click the subscribe button when they get here, and I'll take great care of them. God loves you, and so do I. Health, peace, blessings, and success to you. I'm Matt Terrio, living the dream.
Yeah, yeah, we got cash flow. You didn't know, homeboy, we got cash flow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.